Ramping up your business? The time is near. You've given it heart. Now get it in gear. It's Passage to Profit with Richard and Elizabeth Gearhart.
I'm Richard Gearhart, founder of Gearhart Law, a full-service intellectual property law firm specializing in patents, trademarks, and copyrights.
And I'm Elizabeth Gearhart, not an attorney, but I do marketing for Gearhart Law, and I have my own startups and podcasts.
Welcome to Passage to Profit, the road to entrepreneurship, where we talk with entrepreneurs and celebrities who tell their stories about their business journey and also share helpful insights about the successes that they've had.
Now we're going to be talking to Ian L. Patterson about cybersecurity. He has Plurilock, really interesting and relevant topic these days. So welcome, Ian.
Thank you. Well, unfortunately, lots of people are getting hacked.
How does your company work? How do people not get hacked based on what you do?
Well, it's a great question. And unfortunately, it's not an easy answer, but I'll give you a little bit of background. So Ian L. Patterson, I'm CEO here at Plurilock. For the most part, Plurilock is set up to help larger organizations, enterprise, commercial customers. We also have a very large practice in the public sector. So working with the U.S. Army and the U.S. Navy, all branches of the U.S. federal government, as well as a couple of other allied nations. Plurilock is a company that I actually took public in 2020, and maybe we can talk about that. When we committed to going public, we did not think that there was going to be a global pandemic that would shut down all air travel as part of our go public process. So it's been an interesting journey for sure. You know, I think that my goal here today is to talk to people and kind of let them know that there actually are some things that they can do personally to stay safe, and excited to get into it.
How do you assess the level of threat that an average computer user, one of our listeners at home, they have a computer, they have an iPad. What is the likelihood that they're going to get hacked?
Well, it's a pretty good likelihood that they're going to run into some badness. Now getting hacked has a specific meaning. I think if we expand that a little bit, and if we say, how likely is the average person to be the victim of some sort of cyber fraud or cyber attack, or be exposed to malware, or be exposed to misinformation or disinformation online, the odds are actually pretty good. And that's why, you know, I was saying at the beginning, this is an issue that is affecting everybody, whether you're a big business, whether you're a small business, whether you're an individual. In fact, even teens now who are first starting to get online, this is something that they have to be aware of, is the dangers of these types of threats online. I think what people may not understand, though, is how widespread and automated some of these threats are. So it used to be that, you know, somebody could say to themselves, well, I'm not an important person. I don't have valuable data. Who would want to hack me? And that's actually not the right way to think about it. The right way to think about it in today's economy is, do you have something of value that a cyber criminal might want to get? And that could be as small as a $50 gift card purchase. Or that could be as small as getting access to your social media accounts so that they can perpetrate further cybercrime. So because it is very cheap for bad guys to commit these types of attacks, whether it's fraud or targeted hacking, people do need to be a little bit elbows up, and they do need to take some precautions. Now, the good news is that if you can do the basics, you will set yourself apart from the average internet user. And so there's, you know, it's kind of that story. I'm sure most people have heard about it, but it's two hikers and they run into a bear. And one hiker, you know, sits down and he starts taking his hiking boots off. And the other hiker says, what on earth are you doing? You can't possibly outrun the bear, you know, as the first hiker is putting on his running shoes. And of course, what does he say? He says, I don't need to outrun the bear. I just need to outrun you. So there's definitely some things that you can do here to outrun your average internet competitor, if you will. I'll give you five specific tips. First is, you should always try and use a unique password. So if you're logging into Facebook and Gmail, use a different password for each.
Wait. Guilty as charged. I've got so many different softwares that I have to access. It would be impossible for me to have a different password for each one. How do we actually do that?
Tip number two is, use a password manager to keep track of all of your different passwords. Now, listen, it doesn't matter which one you use. You can use ones provided by Apple or Microsoft or Google. You can go to a third-party one like LastPass or 1Password. The point is, just use something so that you do have a unique password that you're using for each individual site.
The password manager, what does that do?
It keeps you from having to remember all these things.
Do you have 1Password for password manager?
Exactly. The longer it is, typically the stronger it is. And so you can use phrases They don't have to make sense necessarily, but that's actually a great strategy for picking your passwords. But here's a better strategy. Use that password manager and let it pick it for you. And that way you don't even have to come up with it yourself or remember it.
What if you forget the password, your password manager, or get locked out of it, like it just happened to somebody I know?
Well, generally there's going to be a recovery mechanism. And so that's actually a great question. Some people might feel concerned about entrusting all of their passwords to this password manager, fearful that they might get locked out. Generally, there's going to be a recovery mechanism. So this is something that you might print off, like a recovery code. You put it in a safety deposit box. You can also use what's called multi-factor authentication. And so this is a complex way of saying different ways of proving your identity. So it could be a biometric. It could be an actual USB key that you put into your computer. Those are actually really strong. Those are great. And so you can use these forms of multi-factor authentication both for protecting your password manager, but also, and this is tip number three, you should try and use those multi-factor authentication options at all of the different websites. Anytime you have an option, hey, do you want me to collect a phone number so that I can send you a 6-digit code? That greatly enhances your security as well.
Well, there's always a trade-off, I guess, between security and convenience, right? Because if I forget my phone and I go into the office, I'm screwed for the rest of the day because I can't do anything, right? And so I can't look at my bank account. I can't log into Google. I'm pretty much done at that point because I'm so dependent. Everything is so based on this two-factor authentication.
Yeah, the two-factor thing is a blessing and a curse because if you're working with somebody and they're trying to do some work on your account, which we have assistants that help us with that, they have to make sure that they can get a hold of you, but hold of me because it always comes to my phone. So it's our marketing people, it's our website people, it's this, that, the other thing. So we just have to make sure that I'm available when this code comes through.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm sitting here and a code comes through. I'm like, what the heck?
What was that for? Somebody somewhere is doing something. So no, I understand though how that would make things more secure. And I understand why a lot of companies and institutions are implementing those solutions for sure. What about storing passwords in your browser? I mean, because that's like the easiest thing in the world. My browser will memorize my user ID and my passwords for me. How secure is that?
Well, it's going to be better than using the same password on all of the websites that you go to. So to your point, right, security is always a trade-off. You're trading off one safety element versus another. So what I would say is if that's a strategy you're going to pursue, I would then use tip number four, which is making sure that you keep your systems patched and up to date. So if you're trusting the browser and if you're saying, this is where I'm going to store all my passwords, then the thing that you should be doing is you should be making sure that your computer, your laptop, your phone, whichever one it is downloading all the patches, you're regularly updating your system, because those patches are really what's keeping your system safe from new vulnerabilities. So bad guys are always finding vulnerabilities in software, and it's a bit of an arms race. Right. So Google and Microsoft and all the manufacturers, they're constantly providing patches and updates to try and defend against these vulnerabilities. So what you can do is you can keep things patched and up to date. And that's tip number four. So number five is back up what you need and delete what you don't. So when we're talking about actual data theft, this could be financial documents, this could be photos, this could be sensitive business information. The best thing to do is to keep in mind that you should always try and have three copies of anything really important. There's an old adage, which is three is two and two is one and one is none. Meaning if you only have one copy of something, forget it. You might as well already just accept that you've lost it. So you should try and have multiple copies of the important things that you need. However, things that you don't need to store is actually a liability. So you should try and actually reduce the amount of data that you have in the digital ecosystem. Sometimes we call this digital dust, which is just data that's kind of sitting there. They're in accounts you don't use. It's old emails, et cetera. Rather than trying to safeguard that and prevent that from falling into the hands of bad guys, just delete it. And that's actually something that people don't necessarily think about around data security. But if you just remove the data, or the industry term is reduce your attack surface, then this is something that can actually keep you safe as well.
Can you help people do that? Because I have a lot of old data sitting on my computer, old emails and everything. And I try to remove downloads because otherwise my hard drive is full. But is there someone that can help you do that? Or do you have to sit down like every night or every weekend or whatever and go through and just delete all the old stuff on there?
So Plurilock, we don't work with individuals, but we do help businesses at a large scale, at an enterprise scale, you know, think through these types of problems when you're a big business. Because guess what? The same problem you just described, having too much data on your computer, businesses have the same thing. Businesses are chock full of data that's accumulated over the years. Maybe they've done some acquisitions. They've had employees come in and out the door, and there's just data all over the place. And this is a huge area of vulnerability, particularly because from a business perspective, there's more and more privacy legislation and laws that are coming into effect, such that if a business is found to not be storing data to the best of its ability, they can be charged in some jurisdictions like Europe up to 4% of revenue. So the fines are really, really big. So the answer to your question is, are there people who can help? Yes, absolutely. I would be looking for somebody who can help an individual. Again, you know, here at Plurilock, we're really focused on helping businesses, but the same principle applies.
If I go out and buy a computer, I buy an Apple laptop or I buy a Microsoft Windows desktop or whatever, does it have any protection on it already? Or should I buy protection for that? The antivirus programs that always pop up and want you to buy them?
It depends, unfortunately. Are there tools out there? Is there technology that helps keep you safe from threats? Yes. Kind of depends on what the threats are, depends on your specific circumstances. Cybersecurity as an industry is absolutely huge. Just last week, in fact, one of the largest acquisitions was announced. Google is buying a cloud security company called Wiz for $34 billion. This is actually more than all of Google's previous purchases combined. So is there technology out there? Absolutely. There is a ton. And in fact, cybersecurity as an industry continues to grow. By some estimates that it is cybersecurity, again, as an industry is over $1 trillion, depending on how you count. So there's a lot of technology out there. There's a lot of tools. All of those tools, though, are not going to keep you safe unless you do those basics. You need to be doing those basics. If you've done those, and then you can start to layer on anti-malware, antivirus, additional, you could actually get commercial two-factor authentication options. 100%, you can go and you can buy stuff. But what we like to do is to try and help people and businesses really take ownership of their situation first, layer on technology second.
Ian L. Patterson,
according to my show notes, you're an active angel investor with over a dozen investments in early stage tech ventures. Is there anything really exciting coming down the pike that you're seeing right now?
I think that there's a lot of focus and enthusiasm around AI right now across the board, right? Not only AI as it pertains to cybersecurity, but just AI across the board. I think the other large theme that's starting to gain some interest is quantum. So we've seen some large announcements from companies like Google and Microsoft around quantum capabilities, which could revolutionize how we do computing in the future. So I think that there are some large technology shifts. And anytime you have these large technology shifts, there's an opportunity to try and pick some winners and potentially invest in them. I think the thing that I find most exciting and also just most relevant is actually specific to cybersecurity, which is that this thing ain't going away, meaning there's nothing on the horizon to indicate that we will, quote, solve cybersecurity. This is something that is going to stay with us. It's going to be present for as far as the eye can see. And part of the reason that I took Plurilock public in 2020 was there weren't actually a lot of investment opportunities for earlier stage cybersecurity companies in the public markets, which is where, you know, the average investor is able to invest. Definitely, there's a lot of private cybersecurity companies, but they're, you know, unless you have access and kind of know who to talk to, they're harder to gain access to. So I think that cybersecurity overall has just massive tailwinds. If you were to layer on some of these other themes like AI, quantum, I think there's some others, little pockets of opportunity that are either further or nearer on the adoption curve. But there's a lot out there. There's no shortage of interesting companies to spend time with.
Sounds like it. Well, thank you very much. How do people get a hold of you?
Ian L. Patterson. I'm probably most easily found on LinkedIn. And then if folks want to check things out that we're doing at Plurilock, plurilock.com/IR is the best starting point and jumping off point. I will also say we've just recently launched a new media series called Code and Country. So you can find this wherever you find podcasts. And Code and Country is where I'm interviewing some of the foremost experts in the world around cybersecurity and national security. That's where we try and educate and break down what's actually happening on the world stage when it comes to cybersecurity. We've had a series of notable guests, including Admiral Mike McConnell. He was the former director of the NSA and director of national intelligence, actually briefed the U.S. president on a daily basis in the Oval Office, and others. So highly encourage folks to check out codeandcountry.fm. If they're looking to learn more about the industry.
Passage to Profit is a nationally syndicated radio show appearing in 38 markets across the United States. In addition, Passage to Profit has also been recently selected by FeedSpot Podcasters Database as a top 10 entrepreneur interview podcast. Thank you to the P2P team, our producer Noah Fleischman, and our program coordinator Alicia Morrissey, and our studio assistant Rissikat Busari. Look for our podcast tomorrow anywhere you get your podcasts. Our podcast is ranked in the top 3% globally. You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, X, and on our YouTube channel. And remember, while the information on this program is believed to be correct, never take a legal step without checking with your legal professional first. Gearhart Law is here for your patent, trademark, and copyright needs. You can find us at gearhartlaw.com and contact us for a free consultation. Take care, everybody. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week.